Hello and welcome to 20 Tim Minutes, a podcast that focuses on mental health in a serious but yet humorous way. Listen as I interview a wide variety of guests where we show our support as well as sharing our own personal struggles and stories with mental health. I am your host, Tim McCarthy, and now it's time to talk about it. Hey, what's going on, everybody? You're tuning into another episode of 20 Tim Minutes. I am your host, Tim McCarthy. Today we have on stand-up comic, Barstool Sports rough and rowdy champion and co-host of the Plan B podcast, Grace O'Malley. Grace, how are we?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for asking. Thank you for coming on, taking the time to speak with me.
Of course, of course.
Let's start off with this. What does mental health mean to you?
So for the longest time in my house, it was a taboo topic. Then my dad got electrocuted on the job, and it fucked up his mental health. And so it kind of opened a discussion for mental health in my house. So up until that point, it was relatively taboo. Now I think it's something that everyone should talk about openly, because it just helps out more people, I feel like.
I think with where we're from in Massachusetts, I think talking about mental health, it was like a real delayed thing. I think with us, it's like you got to be tough. You got to hold it in, keep it in, and just deal with it.
Yeah, you don't want to be a pussy.
No, can't be a pussy in these streets. What is your relationship with mental health?
I pretended I didn't have anything wrong for a while. And then, over time, it added up. And at some point, it's time to call it what it is and get yourself checked out. So that's what I did.
How long have you been battling it? Has this been like a childhood thing? Is this kind of recent?
Oh, I've been fucked up my whole life.
I'm with you, sister. So you're pretty open about you going to a mental hospital. Let's talk about that a little bit. What led up to that?
So I live in New York, and with my job, it's life goes pretty fast. Things are happening all the time. And I'd catch myself just crashing and burning. And that has a lot to do with I like to party as well, but partying aside, I took like a month off to do the rough and rowdy thing. And I found myself just like still sad, which I thought like drinking and partying would like, if I stopped doing that, I'd be so stoked and happy. Yeah. And that just wasn't the case. So once I realized like, it's not the partying, it's actually something more than that, that is when I kind of jumped into getting some help.
Right. Was there like one instance, or was it all multiple thing? Was it a possible trigger?
Oh, it's just every couple months, it's just, it's bad. It gets real bad. So I'd catch myself on my friend's couch getting nurtured back to life. And it's just like, that's no way to live. So
yeah. How good is it to have a support system around you though?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, if I didn't have my family and my best friend, I'd be fucked.
Yeah. It's very tough out there. It's very tough to do things on your own. So a support system is very good to have. And that's really good that you have one for you. What was it like in the hospital? Can you like go through it a little bit? Like what the steps you had to go to get there, just so somebody can paint a picture with it?
So my mom came and picked me up. My friend called my mom and was like, I think it's time your mom comes and gets you. So she came and picked me up in New York. We went back to my house in Massachusetts. I spent one day there. And we were talking about like maybe going to get myself checked in or something. And after the day, I was like, I think it's time. So my mom and my sister drove me to the hospital. You have to go into the emergency room and tell them like you're fucking suicidal or whatever. And then you kind of go through like this whole process of like getting admitted and then waiting to get to a mental institution. I'm just not really sure what you're supposed to call it.
Yeah. How long were you waiting for?
I was there overnight. My mom's my rock, my hero. She slept in a cot next to me in the mental unit. So we were both in it together for the night.
That's awesome.
Then in the morning, they came and got me, told me I was going to McLean Hospital.
Yep.
And It was so weird. They had to wheelchair me out in my little like crazy person outfit, and they put me in the back of a minivan. I'm just sitting in the friggin' wheelchair, just like freezing because I didn't have my jacket. And my mom's like waving bye, and I'm like, what the hell is going on here?
Yeah, what did you expect going into it?
I don't know. As soon as I got there, I realized it wasn't really for me personally.
Yeah.
I probably should have done some outpatient treatment, but it just takes so long to find what you need in all this jazz. So I thought that was my best and easiest way to get, you know, medicated, is which I thought I needed for sure. But when I got there, and it was the weekend. So when you're in there and it's the weekend, there's nothing to do but color. And that made me go crazier. And I don't like coloring or puzzles or chatting it up small talk style. So yeah. It was my own personal hell. I kept trying to find like a nurse that could like get it, because some of them were talking to me like a baby. And then I'd find like a girl like my age, and I'm like, I'm not like crazy, but like, what the hell's going on in here? So
what did you expect to get out of it, you think? Like, what were you looking for? You just looking at, like, what did you think was going to happen? You just going to get prescribed meds? Were you going to go through therapy? Like, what did you think was going to happen?
I thought it was, my whole thing about it was, I thought I was going to go see a therapist and then they'd do medication. But as soon as I got there, it was coloring time. After coloring time, Monday rolled around and I got to meet with a doctor, and a social worker. And I'm like, oh, therapist must be off today. But they don't have a therapist in short-term units. So I was like, oh, this is probably not great. And the first question they asked me was, what do you want to go on? I'm like, I don't know what the fuck I want to go on. Aren't you supposed to tell me?
Yeah.
So that wasn't the best.
I always heard like McLean was like a good spot, but it didn't seem like you had a great time.
I mean, Selena Gomez went there. I thought it was going to be sick.
It was not sick. How was the food?
Ass. They let you do Uber Eats, so that was huge.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah. Now, would you, if you had a problem again, would you try to go back and do it that way? Or are you into steps right now to get in therapy? Or are you kind of just freebasing right now?
I have the medication that I was prescribed. And I'm looking to get a therapist and a psychiatrist, but it's just hard. It's hard to find these things.
That's like the hardest thing to do. And I tell people all the time, that's like the hardest road is like admitting that you need help is one, but then like trying to find help, like you had to go through extreme measures just to go to the ER, just to find help. And still, it's like, you're still going through it. And that just shows you how much of a tough person you are, because that isn't easy and that not everyone can do that. So hopefully that you can feel that you should be proud of yourself with where you are right now.
I'm trying, man.
We're going through the shit, man. I'm with you.
Yeah.
On Plan B, you said that you were prescribed 5 meds, but only took one. What did you mean by that? You just didn't want to take the other ones, or that you got to choose?
I had these optional ones where one was to help me go to sleep. I don't want to be on sleeping meds. I'm 24. I don't think, I mean, not that anyone else, like, not that 24-year-olds don't need sleeping meds, but I just would rather not be reliant on a sleeping med at this age. So that was one I was like, I'm not doing that. And then they gave me another optional anxiety med, which I only to take as needed. So that's not like on my daily routine.
Yeah.
And then they gave me a mood stabilizer, and then I think a happy pill. But the happy pill I haven't been taking. I've just been taking the mood stabilizer, just even things out.
Is it Lamictal?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm on Lamictal, girl. Damn.
Hey, that a boy right here.
Love it. What were you diagnosed with? Did they give you a diagnosis?
They hit me with bipolar, and then I stopped listening. So I don't know if it's one or two. I just, as soon as I got there, they're like, your eyes are dilated. I'm like, what's that mean?
Yeah.
They were like, oh, that's, you're like bipolar. I'm like, oh, all right. Well, wasn't expecting that one.
I'm bipolar too. It's pretty bad. I don't know if you accept it yet, but if you need to talk to anybody, I'm here for you.
Thank you, man. Appreciate that.
Now, do you trust doctors after what you've been through and saw at the mental hospital? Especially when they're just like, hey, what do you want? You want some Xanax? Here you go.
I did before. A lot of them have a job to do, and they do it well and they care about people. But from what I saw, it was, I don't know. I had the wrong idea, I guess. Just didn't know, like, it almost seemed like they just wanted to medicate you and shut you up almost. And no one was really hearing what I had to say. I was, they told me that I was the most self-aware patient they've ever had. And I'm like, well, shouldn't that mean call for something? It was just, it was weird. I thought it was going to be a whole different scene. I know that they're trying to help people, but I just didn't feel personally help for what I needed.
Felt like a revolving door, probably.
Yeah. I'm like, they don't foresee me doing well outside of here, which I noticed from a lot of the people in there. They were returning patients, and I get it. Like, the outside world's tough, but they should be setting you up for, I mean, they had these meetings and all that jazz to help you when you do leave, but it didn't seem like they were really positive you weren't coming back.
Yeah. Do they ever like follow up and call you to see how you're doing, or?
I'm sure. Just haven't really answered.
But you obviously want to get help, and you think you're going through the right steps?
Yeah, I just I got to get on that therapist psychiatrist train.
Yeah, that's the hardest one. Just, you got to be kind of relentless in a way when you're calling places and just be like, oh, what about now? And like, sometimes I always forget my anxiety. I'm like, they forgot about me. Like, I always think they just forget about me.
I know. That's not a great feeling either.
No. What are your thoughts on today's mental health and how it's handled and dealt with? And then what do you think we can do to make it a little bit better?
I think social media, I mean, as much as people want to shit on it, I think with social media, it's become more openly talked about, like we're doing right now here. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a great thing, because when I did go to the hospital, a lot of people, and I noticed it with my dad also went, but every time somebody goes, like somebody will come up to you and whisper or DM you and be like, oh, I went there, or my cousin went there. But like, nobody wants to bring it up until someone else has gone through it, kind of mm-hmm. thing. So with social media, I think it's been great to have the open discussion with it. But then I think social media can also be tricky sometimes, because then people self-diagnose and then they have the wrong idea of what's going on with themselves too, I think.
I'm a big proponent in that, because I feel like a lot of people on social media doing like TikTok dances would be like, I have ADHD. Like, you might.
Yeah, it's a crazy motive. Like, I don't understand what that's all about.
But I don't either, but it drives me bananas.
It's like, it takes away from people that are trying to openly like discuss about it and not just like fuck around with it, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Did you receive support when you opened up?
Oh yeah. Like, so it was overwhelming, the support I got. It was great. I was scared to talk about it, but I mean, I'm an open book regardless, so I wasn't going to keep that one a secret.
What made you want to come out and talk about it? Just because you are an open book, you didn't want to hide it, or you just like, this would just feel a lot better if I just tell somebody?
I honestly just wanted to have the open discussion and just like have it out there. And from what I got from the feedback is that it actually helped a lot of people. And if I can do that, then I'm happy to do that.
Right. If you can show one person can do it, there's like a million other people that are in the same boat. And I never like to do that. It's like, oh, someone has it worse than you. I don't really like saying that, even though it might help some other people. But it's such a good thing to see someone like you, who's like a personality that they can see every day and tune into, that like, oh, I'm going through that shit too. It's like, it's good to be, have that comfort with somebody else. So that's really good of you to do something like that.
Yeah, especially because it might seem like things are like fucking sick on my end, but it's half the time it's not. And it's like, you can't have like a fake facade that everything's great all the time.
Right. It's like, I work at Barstool, everything's fun. Like, I do this and that, but it's like, yeah, it's not all rainbows and sunshine.
Yeah, sure.
Do you think partying is a big problem when it comes to people's mental health? Like, I know you said you like to party, but do you think that's like some sort of a negative for some people?
Wait, I party probably. Yeah, sure. I mean, I live in New York and we never sleep.
And you're 24 too. Like, time is.
There's stuff to do Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So it's like, it's hard. It's easy to get wrapped into it. It's hard to say no.
Yeah, I can see that. it really goes to show you never know what people are going through. You win your rough and rowdy match and seem super happy. Then weeks later, you're in a mental hospital. What is it like holding that all in? And did you use that fuel for your fight as well?
See, it was the after the fact thing of the, it wasn't the fight itself. It was just like a bunch of things adding up. After the fact, like I thought after I won that fight, I thought it was going to feel like fantastic.
Yeah.
And I got out of the ring and I had a panic attack. I've never had a panic attack before. And I like couldn't breathe, talk. I felt like I was going to faint. It was really crazy. I ran into the, well, I couldn't run out because the main event was coming out. So I was just like standing there having a panic attack. Everyone's trying to like hype me up. And I was like, I was having a panic attack. So then it was a really cool thing that my friend did for me because I won. He got us like one of those water planes that like land in the Hudson River to go home that next day. That's like a really sick thing. And the whole time I was like, this is supposed to be so sick. I'm supposed to be having so much fun, but I couldn't stop crying. So that's like when I knew like, it's like everything couldn't have been better, but I was still so very sad. So that was like a dead giveaway.
Yeah. And did anyone know, or you just still held it in?
I just kind of held it in until the inevitable crash.
Mm-hmm.
Parted it out a little more. And then I was like, this is not getting better. So that's when I had to call in Mama reinforcements.
Yeah. Mama always knows best.
She does.
So you've been doing stand-up comedy. Do you use a lot of dark humor in your stand-up comedy, like your mental health issues?
Yeah. So I just started back up with that. I had my first show on Friday, and a lot of my jokes were the mental health jokes. Going to the mental hospital. I mean, like one of my jokes was a real story that happened. Like when me, my sister, and my mom were in the car heading to the hospital. It was dead silent. And like, what do you say? What do you talk about? So my sister was like, oh, let's toss on the radio. And she tossed on the radio and it was Johnny Cash. I hurt myself today.
Oh, no.
So yeah, it was brutal. And then I just like made a bit out of changing the stations and seeing a Nike sign that says, just do it. And
the hang in there, cat.
Yeah, yeah. And it, I don't know. The people feel... I need to work on my delivery because it made everyone feel pretty awkward, I think.
Yeah, it's very tough. I've dabbled in stand-up comedy too, and I've used a lot of like dark humor and stuff. Like, why do you think a lot of like comics use dark humor or seem depressed? I feel like that's like that correlates a lot with a lot of comedians. Like, why do you think
comedians are the most saddest people you'll ever meet in your life. I mean, they're all you can only be funny if you've been through shit.
Right.
You ever meet a guy who's happy-go-lucky? He's not funny. He's just nice.
That's very true.
It's just, it is what it is. And I'd love to be that guy, but.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very tough out there. Tell us a little bit about the Plan B podcast. I know it's pretty popular, but just in case that people don't know about it, what can people expect out of it?
So Plan B podcast, my friend Brianna started it back during quarantine when she was first hired by Barstool. And she started it in her college dorm room. And for the longest time, it was her interviewing TikTokers as TikTok started to grow. And she moved to New York, asked me to move with her. And it took about a year to get my foot in the door here. And eventually I was invited to be a co-host on after pretending to be a producer for the year I was here. And now it's pretty much on Mondays. We have Tuesday and Thursday episodes. On Tuesdays, we kind of just shoot the shit, recap the weekend. We're always doing some crazy shit. So people like to listen in on that. And it's just like banter, good laughs. And then on Thursdays, we've decided to start being a little more serious and having a topic each week. So we've talked about mental health. We've talked about what it's like growing up in your 20s, like adapting. And it's just honestly, it's a mix of good laughs and some serious topics.
I will say this. I was 24 once. I'm 37 now. Fucking enjoy those years because they fly by. One day I just woke up and I was like, what the fuck happened to my life?
It's like crazy.
Yeah.
I'm starting to get hungover.
Yeah. It takes me like 3 to 5 business days just to get like a recovery.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. What does self-care look like for you?
I think honestly, just like doing little shit to the make yourself feel better is like you find yourself in a bad, we talked about this actually on the podcast recently. It's like you find yourself having a shitty day. It's hard to turn that around. And if you can do like, if you could make a checklist of things, you know, you're going to do anyways, like take a shower or something, you could check that off and just feel like you accomplished something. Because usually when you're down the dumps, you're not feeling too good about yourself. And if you can consider something accomplished that you've done yourself, then I think that's a good way to look at things.
What's next for you? Just more stand-up comedy? What do you got going on?
I don't know, man. We got a lot in the books for this week. I mean, for this year. Really excited. We're starting to get busy again over here. And I'm looking to get back into stand-up, you know, take it a little more serious. I was bombed at my last show, so I'd like to do a sober set. That could be kind of cool.
Oh, you were bombed. You didn't bomb.
Oh, I bombed because I was bombed, but that's a whole other story.
The double bomb.
A double bomb. But no, I'm just, I don't know. I'm just trying to figure out I'm trying to find out what my niche is here and keep up with the stand-up.
Seems like you'll find it. You seem like you're on the right road.
Working on it.
Yeah, and you're working on yourself too. That's like you're the most important person in your own life and you're working on that. Even though you're not picking up the phone and answering your calls, but you soon will.
Yeah. Get my head right first.
Yeah. What are some things you would tell your younger self that you know now?
Oh shit. this is so cliche, but yeah. I mean, it doesn't matter what the fuck people think about you. It's like as soon as you realize that it doesn't matter. It seriously doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what anyone thinks of you. And if I could tell my younger self I would have been I'd be in Hollywood by now. I'd probably be Oscar winning.
That's like the biggest lie I told myself is like, I don't care what other people think, but deep down I did. Did you have that too?
Oh, I still do that. I mean, I tell myself every day that I don't care, but then I get that one shitty comment and I'm like, oh, you motherfucker.
Yeah. I'm the same way.
And I'm hone in on that for the rest of the day.
Yeah. And I'm petty as shit. I'm like Tom Petty. Like I have to write something back and everything. So like I even get more fired up. I'm like, God damn it.
I know. You got to just let him. You can't let him win. That's how you let him win.
I know.
You do it.
You just like now I just kind of delete him. I feel like that's kind of a cop out too. Like I feel like you just have to leave it.
I like my new favorite thing is just shitting on them. You just like pick them apart. If you're going to pick me apart, I'm going to ruin your life.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got to have thick skin.
One kid. He called me ugly. I got it like 15 times a day, but this guy just called me ugly, all the shit. And so I found his mother's Instagram, his grandmother's Facebook, his sister's Facebook. And I DM'd all of them. And I said, your son, your brother, and your grandson's all a piece of shit. He was pissed.
Yeah, I can imagine. You're not an ugly person, Grace. You're a very beautiful person.
Thank you. Thank you. Made my inside.
What are some words of wisdom you'd give somebody that's going through the shit right now?
It's another cliche, but it's like it'll be over at some point. Not now, maybe not in the near future, but it will be over, you know.
Yeah, no, it's true. It is cliche, but it is true.
Yeah.
All right, let's end with this a little bit. You came out to Rough and Rowdy. I don't know what song you came out to, but what is your personal theme song? Like your name gets called, what song is playing for you?
Yep.
Like what's your go-to jam? Like run through a brick wall.
I really like Eddie Murphy's "My Girl Wants to Party All the Time."
Party.
I mean, he's the only comedian who had a bop, and that song is a banger.
Yeah, it really is. That's a really good one. I like that all the time. It's like because you do party all the time, and you're a comic. And you just badass. So it works.
It's like
out.
the perfect double.
That might be one of the best answers I've gotten on this show.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that.
Now, where can everyone find you on the internets?
I tried to keep all the usernames the same, but there's this bitch teacher on Twitter that won't let me have it. But everything, most of them are Grace K. O'Malley, except for Twitter, which is Grace_O'Malley.
Mm.
And Plan B Uncut podcast, you can find it on Spotify and Apple.
Fantastic.
And anywhere else you can find a podcast. And YouTube.
Yeah, you can find, it's easy to find somebody. Just Google their name, type in some keywords, and that's how you find them. That's what I do. I tell people that all the time. Just use the keywords.
Easy peasy.
All right, let's end with this. What are three things that you're grateful for today?
My family, my friends, and my job.
That was quick, to the point, and perfect.
I know. I mean, I wish I could come up with something like... Those are my big three.
Hey, that's the big three. That's all we need in life.
What are yours?
Oh, wow. No one's ever asked me that.
What the hell?
Oh, man. Okay, so I did this today on my episode. So my first one, they're out of the box sometimes because I make them out of the box. Today is my teeth. I got my teeth cleaned today, and they look pretty good. You like that?
Oh, it's sparkly.
And I'm thankful for my truck because my truck never fails me. I have a Tacoma, and every time I bring it to the mechanic, he goes, "There's nothing wrong with your truck." And I'm like, "Fuck yeah!" And then number three is just my mom. My mom's the best. Moms know best. That's where I get everything from. My mom's crazier than I am.
My mom's my boy.
Yeah. Hey, my mom actually lives in Rockland, they might know each other.
That's funny.
That is wicked funny. Grace O'Malley, thank you so much for coming on to 2010 Minutes. This has been a real pleasure. And I thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule.
Thank you for having me. This is a great podcast. Appreciate it. Thank you.
That's another episode of 2010 Minutes. Let's break the stigma by cracking a smile. I will see you guys soon. This podcast is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. If you are feeling suicidal, please dial 911.